on this Thursday morning. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, guys.
The Stanley Cup Final, the way the schedule has kind of been staggered out, we were just talking about it. Do you like it? Do you have an issue with it?
Well, I think when you've got an East-West matchup like this, you know, obviously when we played in the finals, we played Ottawa. I think it was the exact same scheduling. You had a travel day in between the – you go every other night between – one night off between 1 and 2, then an extra travel day, and then one night off between 3 and 4, an extra travel day. So it seems to drag it out, but I think this time of year both teams will gladly take the extra day for rest.
Yeah, do you think it loses any momentum with the fan base, though?
No, I really don't. I think people are glued to this series, and you know, it's been really exciting hockey so far. There are lots of different storylines, so no, I don't think it hurts the series. Put it that way.
I mean, it's rumor season right now, as we're just over 2 weeks away from the NHL draft, and lots kind of buzzing around with the Vancouver Canucks right now. Tell me this, I mean. Does it make any sense whatsoever if Brock Besser is involved in any sort of move for you in your mind?
Brock Besser is involved.
I'm just saying, like, would it make any sense at all to move a player like Brock Besser in your mind?
No.
Mm-hmm. We had Jim Benning on the show yesterday. We mentioned the offer sheet, throwing out a guy like a Kapanen or something, and wondered if it will be more in play this year than ever before. You know, he kind of thought this is going to be a really interesting summer, kind of leading to the way that you do what you can to move forward. Do you think those guys, not the Mitch Marners of the world, because that's a big ticket, but maybe, Brian, if you're a GM, are you looking at a $4 or $5 million guy to see if you can squeeze out? You always mention the salary cap window. Do you look at your, you know, the other competitors and go, I can put the squeeze to him if I go after this guy and he can help my situation?
Absolutely. I mean, that's how they – the offer sheet on Dustin Penner way back in the day, we were right up against the cap. It was smart by Edmonton to make the move. And I think there's a perception out there among fans that there's a gentleman's agreement not to do offer sheets. That's why you never see them. It's just not done. And nothing could be farther from the truth. I think you will see at least one offer sheet this summer. There are a number of teams in cap hell and will not be able to match. You know, we had no chance to match the offer on Dustin Penner. So I do think you'll see them in play. The reason you don't see them more is because if the team has cap space and they're just going to match, all you're doing is driving up the price of poker for yourself as well as that team. You're just driving up wages for a player you're not going to get. If you think you can realistically get the player and the team won't match or can't match, absolutely you'd consider that.
Brian Burke with us here on Sportsnet 650. One of the names that has been linked to Vancouver over the last few days is Nikita Zaitsev. What was your assessment on the Leafs defenseman?
Well, I think he's available. I mean, he did not have a great year here, and he's got a lot of term and money left. I think he's a good player, but he did not have a great year here, and he's asked for a trade. Rumors are that he feels the coach doesn't like him. I mean, I'm not a huge fan, but he's a NHL defenseman for sure. The question is he paid appropriately? And it might make sense. It might make sense for the Canucks.
Where does he slot in? Like, is he a top four? Is he a third pairing defenseman? Like, what's your assessment?
Well, for me, he's a 4 or 5. I think he can play in your top four for stretches, but if he's in your top four, I don't think you have a very good grouping. Here they use some killing penalties. He seemed to get on the wrong side of things here early. I think people resented the money, resented the term. He's a legit player. The question is, can you fit him in your cap system? And if he's not in your top four, he's a luxury item.
How difficult does it become for Kyle Dubas? I mean, you've been a GM with players who want out. When Zaitsev kind of goes public and says, I want to get out of here, how hard does it become for Dubas? Because now he knows that his leverage is minimal, isn't it? Or he's got to be patient?
Well, no, it's not helpful when a player goes public. I never minded if a player came in and quietly asked for a trade or if his agent did. That, you know, that's fine. Every situation isn't perfect for every player. And coaches don't like certain players. And certain players are good enough that they should have a bigger role on an NHL team, but they don't on your team, so they'd like to go somewhere and have that bigger role. Those things happen. Now, I have said to play in general, I would accommodate a professional private request like that. I have refused to trade players, too, though, where a young guy was impatient and said, you know, maybe it's time to make a move. I said, no, I invested a draft pick in this player. We're going to wait and see what's there. I'm not trading him now. He's been 1 year in the minors, and he's not happy. I'm not trading him. So this one here, it would have been more helpful to Kyle Dubas and the Toronto Maple Leafs had the request been presented privately, but I don't think there would have been a big market for this player regardless.
Jason Zucker's name has been linked to, boy, who hasn't he been linked to, whether it was Pittsburgh, whether it was Calgary, and the list goes on and on, and obviously people are trying to connect the dots here in Vancouver as well. Can you get your perspective on what you think of Jason Zucker as a player?
Well, he's a proven goal scorer. He's a good player with good foot speed. They just got two issues in Minnesota. They're old, and they've got cap issues. And some team, you know, Minnesota's in the playoffs for, what, seven straight years? Like, they've earned the right to have some cap issues. Other teams have cap issues that haven't accomplished much. Obviously, Minnesota hasn't had a lot of playoff success, but they're old, and they've got a cap problem, and they've got a new GM. So I'm not surprised to see his name out there. He's a good player. Whoever makes this trade is going to end up with a good player who can score goals. It's just about finding a fit, I guess.
We had Jim Binning on yesterday. I asked him how much harder this year is than last. Last year, you're looking for some veteran leadership because the void of the Sedins, and that might have been easier to find in your third or fourth line guys with Beagle, with Roussel. How much more difficult is it for a GM this year, Brian, to now go, how can I help in the top six? How can I find a D-man? Easy to say, but isn't it much harder to do than it would have been last year when his shopping list was just for veteran leadership?
Well, I think, first off, you're going to be able to get players. I want to say this the right way. I'm not looking for a politically correct way to say it. I'm looking for an impactful way to say it. There are more players available now than ever were available before in the veteran category because of the cap crunch facing a number of teams. So you want a veteran defenseman? Easy. You want a veteran forward? Easy. But they're going to have 4 years left on their deal at a number you already hate, and they're going to hate more as each year goes by. So the whole thing here is, back when I became a GM, it was about making your team better. Now it's about making your team better in a hard cap world. And so, yeah, Jim Benning would have 30 options to add any player he wants, but most of them won't make financial sense. So that's the difficulty for Benji, is he's got to add that player, deal with his own cap situation, and not handcuff himself going forward. You want veteran players? Take your pick. You could probably get any one of 30.
How much does it play into his mind that he's on the last year of his contract?
Benji?
Yeah.
I never thought that way. I mean, I obviously, when I left Vancouver in 04, I was a lame duck GM the last year of my contract, and as I said at the time, it didn't bother me one bit. I wasn't going to do things any differently, and I don't think I felt it was clear I was a lame duck. I don't think that's clear at all about Jimmy. I think he's just entering his last year. I think they're happy with him, and I think they'll talk to him about a new deal. But it was, as you guys remember, it was pretty clear they were doing nothing but with me coming back. So,
Brian Burke with us here on Sportsnet 650. When you talk about, you know, the cap situation and more veteran players that are out there and available, you know, the day of the transaction seems to be harder. Every once in a while we see a hockey trade and you go, wow, hey, a hockey trade where, you know, the transaction was such a talking point, you know, in different generations of hockey in the past. The hard cap salary, the hard cap system, you know, it's been in place for 13 plus years. But Brian, you know, I'm not saying that you take guaranteed contracts out because it'll never happen, I would imagine, in the National Hockey League. But the NFL, you see a little more movement because of maybe the lack of guaranteed contracts. But would you ever like to see a way where there's a little more flexibility getting out of some of the contracts with terms? Or could you envision a day where the cap system might allow for a little more, I guess, free market enterprise, if you will, in terms of allowing for more mobility?
I can't see it. I mean, right now we do not have guaranteed contracts. That's a perception that the NFL doesn't have guaranteed contracts, and we do. Ours are subject to buyout, and you are allowed to get out of a mistake, and it's a critical part of cap management. Owners hate them, but I think it's going forward a critical part of cap management that you overpay a player or pay for past performance, and you utilize the buyout to get some relief. So it's not, you know, it's great for the players that a player over 26, two-thirds of it's guaranteed. So most of it's, you know, the majority of it's guaranteed, which is great for the players. But there is a way out of some, you know, some of these. You can't buy out players over, or you don't get cap relief for buyouts or players over a certain age. But there is relief for a team that way. And I don't think the players should be asked to give up more than that. And I don't think the team should expect more than that. I mean, this is all about drafting and developing, bringing players in the pipeline who can contribute at entry-level salaries, and then making your second contracts manageable and paying the right veterans. And it's an art. It's a skill. And the teams that are successful have managed it. Look at Boston. Lock up your core, draft well, develop well, bring in young players to contribute. San Jose, same thing. Winnipeg, same thing. So it's, I don't see a change to this. You're right. The number of deals was more fun in the, back in the day. There were more trades. You could make a deal and get your team in the playoffs back when 16 out of 21 teams made the playoffs. And before there was a cap, you could, you know, it wasn't about how much does this player make. It's, can I get this player? And yes, there's less buzz with the way it is now, but I don't think this system has produced parity, and it's been great for our league. I don't see it's going to change, even though that one little downfall is, yes, it's reduced the number of transactions.
Jim Benning told us they obviously have their whiteboard. They have their list in which order they want to draft. They'll be bringing a number of players for longer interviews coming to Vancouver next week. Give me a couple of names of people that you talked to, players, young kids, 17 years old, when you had their meetings and interviews. Maybe you didn't get, but you were blown away by going, boy, what a fine young man. He's going to be turning into a great pro.
Well, as part of my – so I don't do the finals, right, for Sportsnet. I do the first three rounds, and then they shift me over to the draft. So I was in Buffalo at the Combine.
Yep.
I interviewed 20 players in 2 days, and I can honestly say I said what you just said about six times. Like, man, this kid is amazing. And I remember when Brad May was drafted, I remember we interviewed Brad May, and there was no combine back then, of course, but you've still brought kids in. And I remember he left the room, and Pat Quinn turned to me and said, I've got to get another first-round pick. Brad May's interview was that good. He was 17. The guy that a number of teams have talked about from this combine were Broberg, Philip Broberg, the Swedish defenseman.
Oh.
One GM said to me, I wanted to ask him to check his birth certificate because he was acting as if he was 31 years old, not 17. And they said he was just, and my interview with him, he was very impressive. But a lot of the kids were, but this is a guy who's, you know, this is a name that they're going to talk about in Vancouver here. If he gets to 10, I'm sure that's one of the names that they're talking about.
So can it sway you? Can a guy move up a couple of spots just because you sit down and go, this guy just, that's what I want in my player?
It knocks kids down more and it moves them up. In other words, they're so well coached by this point. These kids have all been coached through. They do media training right as part of the U.S. national team program. They have media training as part of their thing. They've been doing media all year. So they're so polished, and they've been coached and prepared, and that's why I've always tried to get them off, you know, like I try to ask them a question when I was with teams to get them off the script. Like I'd say, what kind of a dog do you have, kid? And now he's thinking, oh, gee, it's Brian Burke. I can't tell him I have a poodle or a Pomeranian. I got to tell him I have a Doberman or something. And you can see it's a question he hasn't been prepared for, so he's totally off the wall. And then you're like, relax. I don't care what kind of dog you have. I just want to get you off the script. But try and throw the kids off and get them off kilter. So I think a poor interview, Neil Yakupov, was one of the worst draft interviews I've ever had, and it cost him dearly with us as far as where we would have taken him. But I think a kid can move up a little bit maybe or cement a view. Gabriel Landeskog is a guy I wanted to ask him to stay and help us. He just finished his interview. He's 17 years old, speaks perfect English. And I felt like saying, kid, grab that chair next to you, that empty seat, and stay and help us interview the rest of these kids.
Hey Brian, we got to get out of here, but just quickly, today it's June 6th. It's the 75th anniversary of D-Day. You, as an executive, had always had a lot of time and always found time to honor those who served for both on each side of the border. I mean, what goes through your mind 75 years after a very impactful day for our society?
It's a day that people should never forget. It was the swing day in the course of a very important war historically. to defeat the Nazis, and the Canadian Americans that died there should never be forgotten. It was the beginning of the final struggle, and I think of it with solemn reverence every single day. So I hope other people do too.
Thanks for this. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Berkey.
Bug you again next
week. Thanks, guys. Sportsnet 650.